Okay, I'd just like to introduce myself first. My name is Tim Knoppe. I live in the Detroit area. I happen to be one of your brothers in Christ.
Amen.
And we have set this weekend apart.
Hallelujah.
As a college conference in order that we could come and enjoy the Lord's Word, enjoy one another's company, our prayer time together, our fellowship together, staying in the cabins. It's away from your normal routines. We're separating this time to be with even some, maybe your first time, and we would like to welcome you. This is the seventh year that we've used this camp for the colleges in the Midwest area to come together with the students. Many are in different campuses, so you may not know everyone here. So may this weekend be used so you can learn different students from different campuses and meet one another, know one another, in our appreciation together with the Lord. So 7 years ago we came here, I think there was maybe 80, and those who are returning, welcome back. And of course we have graduating years, but even some I've noticed are folding back in who graduated and are coming back just to even be some of what we call the serving ones or serving saints. So I'm catching my breath because I ran out and I forgot my glasses. And but I have some that I borrowed, so we will be able to get into the messages. We have a series of messages, and I would like to do a little explaining first before we get into them. That you'll see on the front, the unique work in the Lord's recovery that may or may not make sense to you. So how about we spend just a little bit of time, even on this title, the unique. Unique means one. The unique what? The unique work. There's a unique work in the Lord's recovery. Okay, what does that mean? Our Lord is our God.
Amen.
And God is doing some work. And he has a unique work. He has many things that he does. He created the universe, right? He saved you and me. And yet, he still has something in the Bible referred to as his unique work. So God is doing a work on the earth amongst his people in the universe. And we are involved in what he is doing because we're his children. And he's our God. We like to look in the Bible and know, well, what is God doing in his one work or his unique work? And the word here says, in the Lord's recovery, which means it's not that we have trouble drinking and trouble with on dependency on drugs and where we need recovery. That sometimes the word is used that way, but the way we're using it is there's a recovery of something that was at one time existed and then got lost. And so it needs to be brought back. It needs to be recovered. So in a simple way, God has a work. And in this work, he is recovering something he intended that was lost to bring it back. So the Lord has a recovery. What is he bringing back? Well, when we read through the Bible, we see the way things were in the beginning, through history, and those who know Christian history know it went through centuries of situations that cause a decline or a veering from, a turning away from God's original intention with the New Testament believers, which were in the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, which is the 27 books that we read in the New Testament, as opposed to the 39 in the Old Testament, which we have the whole Bible. We believe in the whole Bible.
Amen.
We're Christians, and we have the Word of God.
Amen.
Like I said, this is just a little definition, and I welcome you back. And maybe this is your, I know some, maybe just your second time, some your first. Can we just see your hands if this is the first time you've been here? I'm just curious. Oh, good number. Wow, even more. That's a good sign. That's wonderful. It also means I have to go slow if this is your first time. But we enjoy this camp, and we enjoy this time. Make the best of it. So visit people you don't know. In your little groups, we'll have groups. We'll explain a little bit what we're doing. But you'll have time over the course of the weekend. Take the opportunity when we break. Be with one another. Learn one another. There's a lot of new ones here. So you may feel like, I don't know anybody. Well, we just saw how many hands were raised. A lot of people don't know a lot of people. So that's a good, comfortable situation to know a lot new. Now, how many have been here more than, this is your third or fourth time? Raise your hand. Okay. That's a less number. So there's more who are new. Marty, how about that? Isn't that wonderful? How encouraging. Of course, this is a Friday night. We'll have more coming tomorrow. So there's well over 200, maybe almost close to 300. Okay, so the material we're getting into tonight, and it is 8:10, and I will try to be finished by, say, 9. Okay? Let's look at this message. I have another kind. It's the same thing. We're going to look at the first message. Now, this title on this one, can we read it all together? Let's start. Find a page. We're all together. Ready? The pattern of the Lord Jesus, the work of Christ in his human living and earthly ministry. Okay. The pattern of who? The pattern of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has a pattern. So we're going to look at that. What does that mean? Okay. And then it has a dash, which in another statement, the work of Christ. Christ has a work in his being a pattern. That was his job. He was doing something. The work of Christ in his human living and earthly ministry. Okay. So the title of this, those of you who know the Gospels, is four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that gives a kind of biography. Four tellings of the Lord Jesus, who was God becoming a man. Our God, at one point, became a man. He actually walked on this earth. He was born on this earth, and even not in a way of a castle, big importance, but he was born really on the earth as a little babe. That was God. That baby was God. And he was born, and he was a little boy. God was a little boy. And one day he turned 5. Then he was 9. Then he was 12, and we have a little picture of what he did when he was 12, but not much. We don't know that much. An infant, and then he's 12. Then he was 18, 21. These are big years for most of us here. But God was 21 in a human being, and he had a kind of work in his human living that's a pattern. What we're calling his earthly ministry. Ministry. What was he doing? You think when he was turned 21, he got up on a box and began to preach? That was his ministry? We're going to look into this. Maybe the word ministry, you have your own definition in your mind, but actually, when he was doing not much of anything, he was working, and that working was his ministry. He ministered to us, God, living in a young man. That was a work, and it was while he was on the earth, so that's his earthly ministry, and then at a certain point, he became kind of made known when he turned 30 years old. He came out from his small town, and he did start to do miracles and healings and walking about. And this is still God and a man. And he's still doing a ministry. But it doesn't mean just those 3.5 years from 30 till the time he died on the cross at 33.5. That's his ministry. But prior to 30, that's not a ministry. No. His whole life was a work. Do you know how hard it is for God, the infinite God, he's huge, he fills the universe, to confine himself in a young girl as a virgin in her womb as a little fertilized egg, and he's in there for 9 months. And then we'd say, that's not a work. You don't even remember it. God was living in a womb of a young girl for 9 months. That is a work for God. Wow. To limit himself. We're looking back at it. And we want this weekend and even this night to look at his earthly ministry, even considering those 9 months where you couldn't see him. I don't know if you know the story or not, but at one point, the one girl visited her cousin, and she was pregnant, and the babe inside of her leapt. There's some recognition giving us a clue. He recognized the babe in the womb of his aunt. Wow, isn't that something? This is just little windows, little pictures. God was working. Now, we said earthly ministry, because he does have a heavenly ministry also. There's another section of time when you read the epistles from Acts to Jude, very much related to this same Christ, but he's in a different form. He's in a form of the Spirit. But it's the same person who was the man confined within a human body, that just wherever he walked, that's with God walking. That was his work. It was a unique work, because God had never done that before, and sorry to say, I can't do that kind of work. And if I look around and study history, no other man was God living in a human being prior to this one unique one. That's his work, okay? Again, this is a little bit of definition, so that when we talk these terms, you're getting an understanding, because you may have another kind of thought. Even pray while you're sitting in your chair right now. Pray kind of silent prayer. Lord, open up my understanding. Help me to see what this brother is sharing. Have these kind of prayers going on, even while you're sitting there. Don't just be amused and think, is that how it was? Oh, I never thought of that before. That could just be a mental exercise, and you may learn some knowledge. But this person who lived, who is God, for 33.5 years existing at a date and time, was working, that same one is living in you right now. Amen. And he would like you to understand and even apprehend with one another who he was, what he was doing. He had a work. It's important. It's important to understand what our God was doing on the earth for 33.5 years in a section, in a segment, in a kind of area of his work. He had a job description for 33.5 years on the earth, and also not discount the 9 months that he was living in a womb. That's amazing. I don't know. Sometimes you have you celebrate a holiday, Christmas, Easter, and you may have a nativity scene, and you have some kind of appreciation. Oh, the babe. And I remember being young, and I was singing, Silent Night. When it was at night, and the snow was coming down, and I could kind of see it, and it felt nice, I could get myself in a mood and hear Perry Como or somebody, old guy, singing some song. You probably don't know who Perry Como is. Nat King Cole, these guys sang Christmas carols or songs that made you feel very sweet. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God was working. He had a unique work, and He did it for a purpose. And that purpose is to be understood, comprehended, apprehended, spiritually seen by you. Amen. You need to see this. Amen. And do not think it's a small thing. If the college students across this land, if you could see this kind of matter instead of a mood during a Christmas story or song, but you really enter into what God is doing in His unique work, then this weekend has been very valuable. May this be a valuable weekend to you. Okay, so how about we go into the message a little bit. Number one says, the work of Christ in His human living is a pattern for all who aspire to participate in the unique work in the Lord's recovery. Again, without the definition, you may not understand this, but you can participate in what God is doing, which is His work. You can participate in bringing what was intended and lost back into an understanding amongst all the believers, as Christians on the earth, as believers on your campuses. You can participate in this work. A. The human living of the Lord Jesus was His work. His living was His work. We're going to cover some points here. And A is the first one. B is the second. C, third. D, fourth. E, fifth. There's five main points here we want to look at, which is having a spiritual understanding of what was God doing in a man over almost 2,000 years ago. Okay, what was He doing? The human living of the Lord Jesus was His work. His work was His living. Right. And His living is His work. Okay, many times with us as believers, you're living your life, you're pursuing, your education, you're making your parents happy, you're making your own self happy, you have goals, you have desires, you have dreams. And the whole world is telling you, go for it. Get your dreams. Don't be foolish. Waste your time. Get educated. Many of the young people, now this is a college conference, but many even maybe in the skilled trades, or maybe you're working, you're the college age, but whatever, in the society, there's this kind of helping you to improve yourself that you would have a good life. Then you may have, I was actually saved. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and salvation snuck up on you. Or maybe you were totally not anything to do with a Christian and it just, you met the Lord in a dynamic way and you just totally turned around. Whatever. You're a believer in Christ. And as a believer in Christ, then you may remember in your pursuit of your life interest, what you're doing, you're living. And then you may attend some Christian functions. You may be, most of us are in a Christians on campus involvement, or maybe you go to a church on Sunday, or you participate in something, but it's kind of like, it's a 1 hour, 2 hours over here. But it's different with the Lord Jesus. His living was His work, and His work was His living. And He told us clearly in John 6, 57. His living was His work. He's living because of the Father. The Father sent Him to do a work. And His very living was that work. So what He said, what He did not say, what He did not do, was His working. So we want to look at Him as a pattern. The title of this one was, He's Our Pattern. And He set a pattern. You know what a pattern is, right? You know, some people do make clothes. You have the pattern, and then you have to cut according to the pattern to make the product. Well, it's a way to know what those coming after fit the pattern. He's the unique pattern. It's why it's a unique work, because only one person was able to do what he did, but he's a pattern. I know what maybe you're thinking. Well, he was God, so it was easy for him. And I'm, you know, I'm a person that's, you know, I can't be what he is. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, look at your Christ. Look at the Lord Jesus. And what his work is, he intends you also to be what he is. So your eyes can be opened more of how do I be a Christian? How do I live as a Christian? You must look at the only normal Christian that ever existed. That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's unique. And he was working the whole time he was breathing in his earthly ministry. So as he's alive for 33 and a half years, his living was his work. His work was his living. He's the pattern. That means your life, your living, needs to match the pattern. So we're not like part-time Christians. We don't just show up to certain events and feel like I'm fulfilling an obligation as a believer. I did my duty. I wouldn't miss, you know, meeting with a church or if I'm in a group or something, I count that important. But actually, the majority of my life, I'm living my own life according to my own way, and I'm doing my work for me. But the Lord Jesus, there's a little secret here, and we'll see it as we go through here. It's really wonderful. It's really marvelous to look at him as a pattern. So there's small points, 1, 2, 3, ABC. Well, first we'll read one, small one. It says, with Christ in his human living, there was no difference between life and work. His life was his work, and his work was his life. Right? And you have some verses there where is he comes out, and you can read these verses. He comes out and he calls Peter. Eventually, he sees someone full of demons. He kicks them out. Then he goes and visits Peter's mother-in-law. He was married and he went to see his mother-in-law and she's sick with a fever. He takes care of that. But he's walking around. He wasn't holding a special demon casting out meeting or a special healing meeting where you can come and get all stirred up and, you know, he just lived, and he's with Pete. Hey, let's go to my mother-in-law. She makes a real nice soup. Oh, okay. You walk over there with Jesus. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, she's in bed. Oh, okay, let me take care of this fever she's got. Okay, she gets up. He was living. He went over the house. Many times as believers, we get a wrong thought about living and work and living. It's let's have a fever casting out healing meeting. You know, find everyone who's sick and bring them, and then I'll really pray and get stirred up, and wow, they'll feel the Holy Ghost. And you start getting all excited, and I'm good to cast out. Somebody here has a sickness. Someone has a disease. It's you, and bam, I'm going to throw them out of you. And then this guy gets up, and you prayed him around. He's like, yes, and he testifies, I had a fever. How did he know I had a fever? It becomes a show. It becomes something other than a living. It's kind of a theatrical presentation. It's not that some of these things aren't real, but when you look at the pattern, it just doesn't quite fit. Something of the pattern is not lining up. There's too much, I'm all before you looking important. Slow motion. And then this guy, he gets to look up and look at me. I'm testifying. I tell you, sometimes, that happens. People even start to lie because, you're in front of an audience. You got to start telling some things. Or you get a little bit excited. It just happens. But if you have a living that's your work and a work that you're living, there's not a whole lot of ground for that because you're anchored. You're living something according to what we see how Jesus lived and worked. He lived. That was his work. So when he went, he saw a situation, demons, he cast them out. And the record, is not like a whole lot of noise. It's kind of on a kind of low end. The demons are there. They say, hey, you know who we are. We know who you are. Are you going to get rid of us, like, right? Are you going to really deal with us? He says, be quiet. Just get out of this guy, okay? Okay. They go. That's a living. He came to deal with the darkness. People's sins. You have sins. I have sins. There's darkness. And yet this one came and lived in our midst of humanity. And he began to work in that situation to release us from the power of darkness. Release us from sins. Release us from a fever. Doesn't just mean, you know, some Tylenol. We're all sick with something. There's something broken with humanity. You just look at the news. There's wars. There's fighting. You have to, you know, have a button on the back of your pants to keep someone from grabbing your wallet. You know, that means there's sin. When you have a button on the back of your pants, that means someone's trying to grab your wallet. You better button that thing. It's not just a style. It's to keep someone from pickpocketing your money. Because why? We are sick with fever. And yet, our God became a man, lived in our midst of all the sick, all the diseased, all the sin, all the darkness, and he came to work to heal the situation, and he just lived in our midst. Isn't that marvelous? What a pattern. Eight, the Lord Jesus lived his work. He lived his ministry. Work, his ministry. With him, there was only one thing, his life, which was his work, his ministry. So his living, his work, his ministry, it's all the same thing. Did God call you into the ministry? Well, of course, I'm alive. I'm a Christian. No, I mean, are you somebody special? The pattern, where did he come from? How was he born? Nothing important. We like to be important. I went down to Oklahoma not too long ago, and I stayed in this hotel, and this trucker's, I got up in the morning, I had two cups of coffee, one for my wife, one for me, and I'm walking out, and the guy was lonely or something. He started talking to me, ended up drinking both cups, listening to him. And he's going on and on and on. And then by the time he said, "Hey, what do you do?" I'm thinking, "I'm a minister." He said, "Whoa, good thing I held my mouth." He said, "Where did you go to school? How much did it cost? How long did you go?" He was inquiring because he had an idea of what it is to minister. But if you see the pattern, those definitions get rearranged. They get redefined. Hopefully, reading these small things, you don't pass it up too fast. His ministry was his work, and his work is his ministry, which is his living, ministry, living, work. So you should consider, I have a living as a believer. I'm working because I'm alive, and my living should be my ministry according to the pattern of Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't that marvelous? But if you check, that's probably not your definition. And you don't just learn it so quickly. You have to look at the pattern. Keep looking at the unique work of God, and he will recover us out of some other definition to the definition he intended as a pattern that we would learn. That's recovery. You're getting recovered from your own thought, your own definition, your own idea, what you think a Christian should be. You're getting recovered from that other kind of thought to what the pattern actually lives for. To say, you see me? You see the way I live? That's the pattern. Okay. I think we'll move to two. Just as Christ's life was his work, so our living as Christians should be our working. Just like him should be us. Can we all say, me? I mean, you just look around at your neighbors. Just start introducing yourself. Tell your name to your neighbor. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Just for 1 second. Just greet one another. It's a... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. We're not supposed to touch it. Yeah. Okay. I just made an error, but you can say hi, but because of the flu going around, we want to avoid the touching. I'm sorry. I might have just made you all sick. We need Jesus as a pattern to walk in our midst to heal us from the flu. Yeah, we do want to stress, maybe do the, you know, like this. Hey, how you doing? My name's Tim. You have to be practical. Okay. Two, just as Christ's life was his work, so our living as Christians should be our working. We need a living that matches our ministry for the Lord. Do you know that your living should be your ministry? You should minister to your other classmates because you're different. Why? Because you're living as a believer, as Christ. There should be a difference in your living. That becomes a ministry. They just look at you and you're not like everyone else. We're not trying to be odd or unusual, but there's another person in us that sometimes he just restricts us. And we like to keep our relationship with him. That becomes our living. Because we're restricted and we enjoy his presence and we don't want to lose it. So we live in that kind of way. And that kind of living becomes your ministry. Thinking, what's with you, man? You're different. You're like, are you an oddball or what's with you? My living is my work and my work is my ministry. I live by another person. We all should be just as the Lord Jesus. Okay? Okay, so a living that is the ground and support of our service for him. May we all serve the Lord. And I think, I spent a lot of time in these verses, and I'm so impressed. You know, we just studied in our campus last semester, the first semester, Galatians. And 2:20 is such a marvelous verse. Amen. You know, that we're crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? So now we live a life that's one with Christ, and he's our faith. So we're living by another person. That's mysterious. That should look different than people living by, hey, look, I'm living here because I want to do what I want to do my way. But when you live as a believer, it's no longer you. You're crucified. You live by another life. That becomes a ministry, a service, even to our Lord. Then you know what? You're in part of the work, the title of this. You're in that kind of unique work. B, in his human living, Christ was found in fashion as a man, even the form of a slave. Wow. This is a dynamite verse. He was found in what? Fashion as a man in a form of a slave. So, you know, all these points here are covering, and I'll just try to speak a little bit. Jesus was found in fashion as a man. He was God, but his fashion was a man. And his form was of a slave. If I was God, you know, and I've concealed myself within a human being, and I'm walking and living amongst human beings, I might want to choose a generation or a time when they have like electricity, restrooms, flushing toilets, you know, showers, hot water. If it's hot, I like air conditioning. He could have picked any time to be born. But our God, he was born as a normal man in a way of a normal man by a birth, although as a virgin birth, a conception of the Holy Spirit. And he came out as any other man comes out into this earth. And he lived on the earth as any other man. So he spent all those years from a babe until he was 30 seemingly doing nothing, because there's not even a record of hardly anything other than his birth. He was getting persecuted, went off to Egypt, and somehow came to Nazareth. Blip, that's it. Wouldn't you think there'd be some more story about that written down? Then at 12 years old, his mother's walking there in a caravan, and they left Jerusalem, the temple, and on their feast. They're walking back with all their relatives and family, and just then they, you know, all the kids played together, and it was a big group. And but after they traveled a while, where's Jesus at? You know, he's gone. So that, you know, they're scared and they're all upset. As any parent missing their kid, that's, you know, they go back to look for him. Oh my gosh, we left him. And they're looking around. They go into the temple, and there he is conversing with all the priests. He's, you know, Mary goes, What are you doing? Why'd you treat your father and I like this? And he said, I'm in the things of my father. He knew his father was God. He was the Son of God. But he was a 12-year-old boy. And he could have been about a lot of things from there on out. He said, I'm 12, and I'm God. I mean, you know, if you're 12 years old and you just know how to karate chop somebody, you know, you get, you know, come on, man. You know, you, there's something in you that you start feeling a little confident. You know, hey, try something, buddy. I'm 12. If you're God, I mean, what are you going to do to me? He was God. But he was found in fashion as a man. No lightning bolts coming out of his fingertips. You know, kids hitting the baseball, whatever they did, a rock and a stick. I don't know. But anyway, it's not like, you know, he's. Wouldn't you think he'd be tempted? I'm 12 years old, and there's another kid's thinking he's big shot. He's bigger body than Jesus, handsome, looking good. Jesus kind of small, not so handsome. Bible says he didn't look good. So, you know, and the guy gets up, let me show you how it's done, Jesus, step back. You know, just get up there and bam, you know, hit the thing and take that. You know, just trot around the bases. This, you know, you're competitive as a human being. And Jesus was thinking, watch me hit it. I mean, he just get up there and the whole thing disintegrates. They're like, where's the ball? It just, you don't see any of that. You don't see any of record. He was found in fashion as a man. Just like any other boy. He didn't use the power that was in his being. He was found in fashion as a man. Do you know what a job that is? To not show off when you have the capacity? You have the ability. You can do it. Whatever you want and you don't. He stayed within the confines of just being a man. I mean, there's Iron Man. There's Superman. There's, what is it? Hulk Man? No. There's another one. Spider-Man. You know, there's all kinds of these men that are like waiting to show what they really can do. And they hide behind a suit as if they're, you know, really humble. No, that is what men like to do. We like to show off, display. I got some powers. I'll put on a suit and fly so that, you know, spider, you know. But I'm going to look cool doing it, and you're going to be amazed. Amazing Spider-Man. But Jesus could do all these things, but the Bible said he was found in fashion as a man. This is his work. This is his pattern. This should have an appreciation swell up in your heart for who he is. He liked to be a normal man. Not showing. Not flashy. And even in a form of a slave man. That he wasn't a, you know, powerful, strong, muscles huge, dashing, you know, whatever. Important family. Where, oh, you're so-and-so, oh, you're the royal family, you know, prince, whatever. So, somebody important walking through the earth where you get some recognition. He had no recognition in an outward way. He came in a form, as a fashion as a man, in a form of a slave from a, born into a poor city. You know, he had brothers and sisters and they're doing some carpentry work. It's so low looking, so insignificant. And that is the pattern. You want to, you know, be showy. You want people to see how smart you are, your capacity, your capability. And that's, you know, we just have some kind of capacity. We want to arrive at it and display it, whatever we can get. You know, if you have, you know, some people, they end up making a lot of money. They just, you know, oh, drop their wallet and money falls out. Oh, you know, just make sure it's done in a crowd. Or if you're strong, or if you're pretty, you know, beautiful. All the girls look so beautiful. You know, the beautiful ones, is that, you know, of course, whatever. There's a it can be a display. If you're pretty and you know it, and you're trying to pretend you're not, oh, I'm not really that pretty. You know you're pretty, and you got to display it. And if someone made you feel like you're not pretty, you would be very offended. But the Lord didn't come in that way to display His qualities, His capacities, His capability. Because He had a unique work. And He's a pattern to you and me. We're broken. We have sin. We only can jump, you know, so high. If you're a basketball player, most you can do is jump that. You can't jump through the roof. You still have a limitation. But because you can jump higher than me, you know, you get paid millions of dollars to put the round ball through the round hoop a few more times than me. So in a whole night, you put it through. Wow, 15 times you made the ball go through the hole. Wow, millions of dollars. That doesn't make sense. But I can't do it. It's because I'm too short. If I shot at the guy, bam, you know, you know, laugh at me. I can't compete. But some can compete at that level. But really, is it that great? Shoot the ball through the hole 15 times, worth $10 million or whatever. It's ridiculous. But you're showing and displaying your capacity. But Jesus wasn't like that. Our pattern, doing His work, He was found in fashion as a man, and even a man as a slave. His form was that of a slave. You have to think about that kind of matter. You have to pray about that. When the Apostle Paul was writing Philippians, and it was a good church, and they had a little contention between them, I preached the gospel with Paul. You know, one girl, sister. I was with Paul and preached the gospel with him. I was too. That kind of thing. Yeah, but you didn't pray as well as I did. Yeah, well, while you were praying, I was preaching the gospel. Someone got saved. So your prayer didn't mean much. This is who we are. That kind of thing. I don't know if the specifics, but it was a contention between two that served with Paul. And he wrote thinking how to solve this problem. Don't you know Jesus is your pattern? How come you're competing with the other sister in some positive things? It wasn't negative. It was even who can get the most people saved, who can pray the best prayers, who can be appreciated in their prophesying the most. It was a competition, something not sweet. So he thought about how to solve this problem. Did he say, you know, God is powerful, and if you say that kind of thing, He'll send a lightning bolt and just fry your hair? He could have been a God like that. Every time you make a mistake, He just jumps out of the sky and scares you to death. But he said, no, I'm like a normal man. And I'm going to serve you. This is who the pattern is. And we need to be in the same thing He's doing. That's our work in our ministry as we're living on, you know, our lives, wherever we're at, on our job, in our homes, in our schools, wherever we're at. We have to know this Christ. And Paul said, Jesus is your pattern. If He's God in a man, don't you know He humbled Himself to be a slave? That's the pattern. So that's the main emphasis we need to see on the second point here. B. Okay, now I'm going to skip to C. There's some verses, some items you can read there. Do that. You can do that in your groups or in time. C. In His human living, the Lord Jesus carried out the work of declaring God. That's part of His work. He declared God. You know, no one has ever seen God, but the Son of God, who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. How do you know who is God? He's like invisible. What? Who is God? What kind of God is he? Is he a God that jumps out of the clouds and scares you to death? Is he a God that just frustrates you? Or you make a mistake, he sends you to hell? Or is he a clown? Hey, I did that, played a good joke on those people. Is our God a joker? He could be anything. We don't know who he is or what he is, except Jesus, as a son of God, knew him and dwelt very close in his bosom, and he declared God to us. He showed us that God is life. God is life. Life is a mysterious thing. But not a plant life, not an animal life, not even a human life. It's the divine life. He's a living God. He's alive. And he shines as light in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it, cannot defeat it. When the light comes, the darkness must go. This is the kind of God that we had. He's life. He's light. Isn't that marvelous? He's grace. Jesus came full of grace. That was his declaring. God gives you grace. That means he meets your need. When you feel lonely, he's your friend. Do you know that's grace? You're misunderstood. You're not appreciated. You've been wronged. And he's your friend. You committed something, and you even feel guilty, and your conscience bothers you, and you're wounded. Somebody, or you got involved with, and a wound is there. He's the healer. That's grace. He's coming. He knows you're wounded. Something happened to you, and he comes in to supply you with what he is. Isn't that wonderful? That's grace. Wow. He's reality. He doesn't wear a mask. He's not pretending. Our God is reality. Isn't that wonderful? He's truth. He's reality. He's not a liar. You can always count on him. His being exudes reality. A lot of people, they just pretend. You know, you had fashions, fads come. You're not, you know, you want to, your fashion is not as a man. Your fashion is some Superman or you know, some stylist person. Or you want to display, you want to show. And you can't meet anyone's need because you just want to take care of yourself. What's good for me? Jesus declared God is not like that. He's life, he's light, he's grace, he's reality. This guy is wonderful. This is our God. Jesus, part of his human living, his ministry, and his earthly ministry, that means when he's on the earth, was just to declare God to all humanity. Men can know who is God because Jesus, in his job, in his work, in his living, in his ministry, declared God. You can know God by looking at Jesus. Hopefully you'll read the Gospels with this point of view. It will be altogether different than some stories. That is God being declared. Okay. Oh my. Okay. I got to go pretty fast. D. The Lord's work in his human living included his expressing the Father. He didn't express himself, he expressed the Father. He declared God and he expressed the Father who is God. And E says, in his human living, the Lord Jesus cared for the things of the Father. In his humanity, Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, cared for the things of the Father, for God's interest. The second point I'll cover pretty fast, but those first five major points, that's his work. That's what he was doing. What? His living and his working. Him being found in fashion as a man for 30 years, seemingly doing nothing. Then 3.5 years was his ministry, and at the end of that, he just produced 120. Not really that much. And out of the 120, not one PhD. They were fishermen, group of women. One of them had 7 demons. His living was his work. It wasn't what did he produce. That becomes a pattern to realign us. We're not looking for high statistics, numbers, dollars. We're looking for a living. Amen. He wasn't interested in doing a work apart from his living. Listen, 30 years to 3.5 years, 10 to 1 emphasis on living that's not known. That's the emphasis of the pattern of Jesus. And yet in our thought, what we can say, many Christians, you just get saved, you want to start producing, work for Jesus, do something. Jesus didn't do seemingly anything for 30 years. How about we follow that pattern in our living, being found in fashion as a man? And then there's a ministry of 3.5 years. He did come out, but his living was his work. He took care of many things, but not for himself. He was declaring God. He was in the things of the Father. He was doing the work of the Father. It wasn't his own. He wasn't on display of himself. This is impressive. I hope in your prayer, I hope in your group time, you can consider these 5 points. Get something readjusted. Get something recovered in your understanding that you can be one with him. We can follow him as our pattern. What he is, you should be. Now, the second part of this major point has some emphasis that he never was doing anything by himself, for himself. He was never alone. He was always with the Father. So A says in his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus, some things he did. He preached the gospel. He served people. He sought to save the lost who are sinners. He preached the kingdom. He sowed the seed of the kingdom. And he taught truth. So he was busy. He was doing a lot of things enumerated in A. How did he do them? This is what's interesting. Then B, it says, in his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus was one with the Father and had no work of himself, no will from himself, no word from himself, no glory for himself, and no ambition for himself. All these items, that's how he did all the matters in A, that's the work. So when he preached the gospel, his words were not his own words. It wasn't his will. He's living by another life, the Father. Should I speak to him or not? It's not my will. Thinking, well, this guy, he looks like he might punch me. I'm not going to talk to him. This guy, oh, you're black, I'm white. No, I'm not going to talk to you. Okay, you're old. Oh, yeah, you look right. I'll talk to you. Okay, he has a friendly face. Yeah. That's my will. But the Lord Jesus said, the Father said, speak to him. So I speak to him. What words do I use? I think, well, hey, you look pretty strong. Let's talk about boxing or something like that. No, that's my words. Jesus used the words of another person. This is the secret. The secret of how to follow the pattern is you don't use your own words. You don't use your own will. It's not, you're not alone there. This is a big thing to learn. The secret's in the second point of we don't do things as believers and then just say, Jesus did it all, when it was really all of you, with your own words, with your own will. It was your own work, for your own glory. Look, I got him saved. Hey, I saved that guy. You didn't save anybody. We have to have a rethinking, a renewing, a recovery. We need to come up to what is normal from the Bible, because God's only doing one kind of work. But when we redefine and we take it upon ourselves to do something apart from him, we're not in a unique work. We're in my work and you have your work. And as many people as are here, that's how many different works are going on. I like to feed the hungry. I like to dig wells. I like to build houses. I like to make money. I like to, whatever you like. It's your own will. That's not the pattern. That's not the pattern. Okay, so B kind of highlights this whole portion. He's one with the Father, had no work, no will, no word, no glory, no ambition for himself. Christ was one with the Father, living a life that showed that he and the Father were one. Example, he broke the bread, he did the miracle, he looked up to heaven, showing it's not me. He wasn't grandstanding. Everyone hungry here? Where are you going to get the food? Is your stomach growling? I feel a miracle coming on. Watch this. There's no kind of self-glory. not his own way. You know, it was just, he looked to the Father, showing a submission, showing a dependency. That wasn't a false dependency. He wasn't making a show. He was really living that way. We should be the same. We should be the same. Two, the Lord Jesus, he just lived the Father. Three, the Lord Jesus did not do anything from himself. See, in his earthly ministry, Christ worked with the Father. He worked with the Father. Eventually, you know, the disciples were around Jesus. They were going, and they're like us a lot, you know. They didn't know what was happening or what was going on. And they're just hanging with him. And they didn't know who he was or what he was doing. And yet, the Lord Jesus wasn't doing anything from himself or by himself. And he's always talking about the Father. And eventually Philip said, you know, okay, I'm going to say it. The rest of you guys aren't saying it. But hey, Jesus, you keep talking about the Father. Why don't you like show us the Father, okay? I mean, and the Lord Jesus said, what? It's like, what are you talking? Don't you know when you see me, you see the Father? I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say show us the Father? What's wrong with you? You know, Philip's like, I didn't see him. What? He didn't realize Jesus was one with the Father and the Father's one with Jesus. Whatever Jesus spoke was always the words of the Father, the work of the Father, the will of the Father. He didn't live by himself. How about you? Do you live by Christ? Does Christ live in you? Are you crucified with Christ and it's no longer you who live, but Christ? We don't live by the Father the way the Lord did, but he was a pattern. We should live by Christ. And as we live by Christ, it's no longer your words, no longer your work, no longer your will, no longer your glory. You're not by yourself. Oh, may it be so. Oh, may it be so. Who here needs some recovery? Yeah, we need recovery to be normal. That's what's normal. The pattern of a human being who is God lived by another life, the Father's life. We need to be human beings living by another life that's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That one that's a hope of glory that's in you, you need to learn to live by his life. That means you speak his words, not for your own glory. That is a learning. That's a growing. That's a developing. May we be recovered to be in this kind of work that's our ministry, that's our living, that is what God is doing. Okay. I said nine. I'm going to go a couple minutes over. I'll go fast, okay? All right. In his earthly ministry, Christ worked with the Father. D, the Lord Jesus worked in the name of the Father. That didn't mean he did something by himself and said, in the name of the Father. A lot of times, Christians have a habit. They do something, they're working. It's their own idea. They just feel, yeah, Jesus led me to do this, but it doesn't match the pattern. It's their own doing. And then they say, in the name of Jesus. Well, it's not really. You just said that like a magic, you know, wand. In the name of Jesus, wave a wand. It's actually, no, it's you with a magic wand. How about it really being in his name? That means not your name, not your person, but another person's name. You know, that means they do it, not you. That has to begin to recover our old thinking. That we do something apart from him, by ourselves, for him. We mean well by it. We have good intentions. It's not evil, but it's not according to the pattern. The pattern is, he didn't say his own words. How about you? How about me? Okay. That's what it means to work in his name. E, in his work, the Lord Jesus did not seek his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. He had a will. He said, oh, Father, I'm about to die this terrible death. This cup can pass from me, it'd be really, you know, I'd like that. But not my will, but your will. His will was, I don't have to die and suffer like a humiliated criminal and tortured until I'm dead. That was his will. But he had to die like a common criminal, and spat on, made a fool of, embarrassed, looked weak and vulnerable and put to shame until he was dead. And then get him off the cross and get rid of him so we can celebrate a holiday to God. And that was God. He suffered that humiliation. But he had a will. You just think a minute. If Jesus is a man on the earth, didn't he see the disease? Didn't he see the hunger? Didn't he see the Roman government? Couldn't he have overthrown any of that? Thought, hey, you know something, you know, these guys are being cruel to my mom. That's my mom. And the Roman government is here causing us to be poor because of the way they tax. And the road didn't come near our house. They're just doing something for their own interest. I'm going to overthrow the Roman government while I'm at it on the side. Couldn't he have done that? Surely he could have done it, but that would be his own will. But the pattern is he didn't do things in his own will. He saw the hungry people. He fed 5,000 for one time. How about feed the hungry people all the time everywhere? He's a man. He knows what it is to be hungry. Why didn't he solve that problem? That was not what the Father wanted done. So he was obedient in his humanity to the Father. Many times you may want to do something. You see a good thing that needs to be done. It seems reasonable. It even seems necessary. And you just go ahead and do it in the name of Jesus. But it's you. It's your intention. You try to solve, identify the problem, and you're going to fix it. But that's not how Jesus was, because he could have fixed every problem. He had a will, but he didn't use his own will. He lived by another's will. The Father, he's a pattern. Okay, F. In his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus never spoke his own word. I think you understand. G. The Lord Jesus could say, I do not seek my own glory. Glory deals with the self. So he told us to deny ourselves, but he also revealed he denied himself. Because the self likes to be known, appreciated. But he said, I didn't do any of this for my own glory, but the glory to the Father. May all the glory as believers go to the Son.
Amen.
As we're Christians.
Amen.
However we live, whatever we do, glory to our Christ. If we would participate in the unique work. Now, I'm about ready to finish, and then we'll have some mics. So get yourself ready, okay, that you have a chance to speak also. If we would participate in the unique work, and I think maybe now you understand, his unique work is what God is doing. And it's not what we think. It's a unique work. And Jesus was in line with that unique work, and we had to follow the same pattern. In the Lord's recovery, that's like today. He's recovering us to not what we think it should be, how we should live as a Christian, but what does the Bible speak? What does Christ portray as a pattern so we would know how to be in this unique work to be recovered according to what he intends? Okay. Then our self must be denied. That's a big one. Our purpose must be rejected. Can you take this? This is a sobering word. It's not cheap words here. Okay? And our ambition must be given up. How about that? You like to hear these kind of words? Actually, the Christ in you is saying yes. Yourself is going, no! The self never wants to be denied. And you have your own, live your own life, your own purpose, your own goal. Fulfill your dreams. This says, your purpose must be rejected. And our ambition must be given up. Furthermore, we must know only to work with the Lord by allowing Christ, allow Christ to do what? Live in us.
Amen.
How about we start reading from allowing Christ? Can we read that all together? Allowing Christ to live in us, to work in us, and to make us the duplication of himself for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. God has a purpose. Our self gets in the way and frustrates his recovery work. He wants to recover this whole earth to become his kingdom, where he's the sole king. ruling and reigning through others, his children, his sons, that means his daughters, his children, that's us. But our self gets in the way, even our good self. May this pattern of the Lord in his earthly ministry enlighten us. How to live the Christian life is not a WWJD. It's look at the pattern. How he lived was he depended on another life, a life of the Father. How you live today is not thinking, oh, how did he do it? Let me try to do that too. No. What he did is he didn't live by his own life. He lived by another. You have a Christ in you. May you learn to live by him. The pattern was, I didn't live by my own life. Why are you doing that? That's the pattern. If we can catch that one, that's big. That's very big. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, how about I stop and then it'd be your turn?